Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Processing the Pain with yours truly, Coach D. I want to welcome you in the studio on tonight. Thank you for joining me. I am excited to be in the studio on tonight. I missed last week, but I'm here this week, glory to God. So I believe that there is something exciting that the Holy Spirit wants to share with us on tonight. And I'm going to deliver that message, amen. I want to thank you all again for joining us on tonight. Processing the pain. I know some people have reached out to me and said, hey, Coach D, I thought you were going to be having guests on your show. And I am. That's my intentions. My intentions are to bring in various guests on the second and the fourth week. The second and the fourth week of Thursday of each week. I'm all tongue twisted. Let me repeat that. Bringing guests the second and the fourth Thursday of the week. And so I want to be able to bring in guests that are willing and able to share their testimony. And, you know, that's not been an easy task. I've reached out to various people, and people are operating in the spirit of fear. People are operating and not feeling comfortable sharing their testimonies. And no judgment whatsoever. God is expecting more from us as his children. He's expecting us to be assertive. He's expecting us to be able to be bold, have a spirit of boldness. He's expecting us to be able to step out. Because if we don't do that, then we can't be obedient to him. I'm going to say that again. If we can't do that, we can't be obedient. So if God is telling us to do something and we're not doing it because of our own hang-ups, our own fears, our own desires, then guess what? We're disobedient. And it doesn't matter how we try to sugarcoat it. Disobedience is disobedience. When God says go, we have to go. And that's in spite of our childhood insecurities. That's in spite of our adult insecurities, fear, unprocessed pain, whatever that thing is. If we hold on to those things, then we cannot be obedient to God. And again, like I said, there's no judgment. But I know as I'm asking, people, hey, I believe that God wants you to share your story and to come on. And people are like, I'm not ready. I don't like to talk in front of people. See, that's all things that's not God. That's all things that the enemy will bring to us, because what did he do? He came to kill, steal, and destroy. He came to kill our dreams. He came to kill our desires. And if he kills our dreams and our desires, then guess what? He's killed our destiny. Amen. And so if you have those kind of hangups, I'm going to, I'll stand in prayer with you. You just say, hey, Coach D, I got some fears about sharing. I'll stand in agreement with you. I'll stand in a prayer of agreement, and we will rebuke and bind that spirit of fear, because it's not of God. And when we are operating in the spirit of fear, we cannot be obedient to God. So don't let the enemy deceive you into thinking that you're lined up and you're in obedience to God, because if you operate in fear, you're not in obedience to God. Because if God tells you to go, what if God told you to pack up? You've been living where you live for the last 50 years. But what if God told you to pack up and move across the world? Will fear cause you to be paralyzed, or would you go across the world? We cannot be obedient to God and operate in fear. It's no way possible. Obedience and fear can't operate in the same space. Amen? That's not my message on tonight, but somebody needs to hear that tonight. Be bold. Be assertive. Step out. You're an ambassador of the kingdom. And as an ambassador, you got to get out there and you got to let people know who are you? Who are you? Why are you here? Who sent you? And you got to step out there. I am an ambassador to the kingdom of heaven. And so we got to step out and we got to be bold and assertive in it. Amen. So we're going to get to the message on tonight. I don't know who that was for, but it's for somebody. Fear and obedience cannot operate in the same space. Amen. So tonight's message I'm really excited about, because, and I'm going to be transparent as I always am. If you have not been following my show over the last 8 years, one of the things that made Processing the Pain unique is because it's a platform where people are transparent and we're willing to share our hiccups. We're willing to share how the Lord has walked us through certain things, how he has corrected us, how he has comforted us, and how we have grown through his pruning, right? And so Coach D is a single woman, definitely single, and I'm sharing this with you because the message tonight is going to make sense. I'm a single woman, and I go through spurts. What do you mean, Coach D? I go through spurts because I have moments, more moments, where I'm content with being single. Meaning, not saying that I don't desire my covering, but just saying I've been doing this for a long time. And they say repetition, easy, pleasure often a habit. Well, I repetitiously have been single, where being single has been easy, and single being easy has become pleasurable, and single being pleasurable has happened often because I'm still single, and single becomes a habit. I know that's going to make sense in a minute. Just bear with me. And so me being single, I have these other moments, though, that come, and I'm desiring. I'm like, Lord, where is my cousin? Lord, when are you going to send this man? Father God, where he at? okay, people say, oh, you know what, you don't do nothing, you don't make yourself visible, you need to put yourself out there where people can see you. And then I listen to that stuff, and I follow through with it for a minute, and then I get frustrated with it, and I stop. So anyway, I'm going back and forth. I have moments where I'm just truly in deep desire, and sometimes I think, is it ever going to happen? Is it ever, Lord, is it ever going to happen? And I'm dating with purpose. If I do decide to date, it's with purpose. I'm not really even interested in dating. I want to skip straight to the courting season. You know, I really want to meet you the first date. We meet. We have conversations, hours of conversation. We meet each other, and we follow the five C's. Coach D, what is the five C's? You know, the connection. Then we have the connection. We have the communication. We have Christ. We have the chemistry. And then we have the commitment. I'm going to repeat that. We have a connection. We have a communication. We determine that we are both in Christ. Then we have the chemistry, and then we have the commitment. I just want to jump to that. And everybody say, okay, Coach D, you're not being realistic because you're saying you just want to eliminate the dating process. How you get to know somebody if you're not dating? And I get that part, but I do. I want to get to the courting. What's the difference between courting and dating? Dating is casual. Dating is kind of casual. You meet people, you go out, you eat, you have a conversation. It may turn into something, it may not, whatever. And then courting is when you're going with purpose. I'm going out. I'm already had the conversations with you. I don't even want to get to this point of going out with you until I've had the conversations to see what do we have in common. Are we connected on those five C's? And then once we determine that, then we can start courting. Courting is saying, I'm dating you with intention. I'm dating you with the intentions on marrying you. I have already seen, and I don't know men, I'm not a man, but I've heard from men, that men know, they know off the top if you're somebody they want to marry. It don't take them 2, 3, 4, 5 years to determine if they're going to marry you. That's just the truth. And this is what men are telling me. So I'm want to get to the court. Let's get to the court where during the courting time we'll get to know each other. We'll get to figure out if we work. But we're already doing this with the intention of it. So I'm saying this, and I'm setting the foundation for tonight's message, because in this, sometimes, and then I go through social media, and you got all this stuff, you got dating sites, you got social media, and everything I click on, somebody talking about husband, wives, relationships, somebody, you know, people are posting selfies, so much stuff, I mean, constant, and I've been guilty, press, you know, why are we doing that? Why are we presenting selfies? We know what we look like. Why is it important that we make sure everybody else know what we look like? And so I was seeing this, and now I finally got to a point where I said, like, you know what, Lord, my focus is on the wrong thing. What if I was to tell you that the things that we focus on the most are the things that don't matter the least? The things that we focus on the most are the things that matter the least. And God began to deal with me, began to talk to me, began to minister to my spirit. And he brought up this, it's called the 80-20. And it's an 80-20 theory. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about that, so I want you to be able to understand what that basically means. And I'm not going to get into all the scientific facts of it and all that. But basically, let me just put it in layman terms for you to be able to understand it. It's the 80-20 rule. It states that we pay, you know, that a lot, what we put 80% to only produces a 20% harvest. You know, so it's really kind of about prioritizing. Are we prioritizing? What are we prioritizing? And if my priority becomes, listen up, if my priority becomes that all I'm interested in a husband, guess what? I'm going to be spending 80% of my time doing what? Looking for a husband. Are you going to be spending 80% of your time doing what? Looking for a wife. And it only bears 20% of the results. So as I started thinking about that, I said, you know what, I need to shift, because my 80%, you know, and it gets like that at times, but God begins to shift me, and he reminds me. I want to make sure that whatever I'm giving 80% to is going to produce amazing results. So if I'm spending 80% of my time on Christ and being Christ-minded, and being Christ-like, then guess what? I think I'm going to produce a lot greater results in doing that. And so I begin to think about that, and I begin to think about, it's not just me. It's a lot of single Christians that's out there that's looking for their mate, that's desiring their mate, and some of them are infatuated with it. So I'm going to just go over some things that God showed me spiritually in his word about this curse when it comes to singles. Now, if you're married, this message is a good message for you too, because I'm talking about singleness, but it could be anything. It could be job. Infatuated by the curse. You could be infatuated by a job. And I'm going to tell you why, and it's going to make sense. So let's do this so that we can get to the point of it all. Let's go to the word. And in the word, I'm going to take us to Genesis. Let's go to the very beginning. Now, I know when I get into the word, a lot of times people want to get bored, and this is the time you want to cut up the TV and not pay attention or log off or doze off. But stay with me, because the word, we're going to build a foundation. We lay down the foundation of the word, and we can build on that. And so we're going to go back to Genesis, and I'm going to be reading from Genesis 3, but I have to set the scene from Genesis 2, and Genesis 2 through 25, I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm just going to set the scene, because we know how God created man, and he created man from the dust, and, you know, he created Adam. We know that. We know that he created Adam, and we know that he also brought forth all these, you know, these animals and different things for Adam to begin to name. And, you know, he began to name these things. And then we found that, you know, that God told him, hey, there was nothing there suitable, because he had animals. He had all these different animals that he named, you know, animals of the land and the air and the sea. And he named them, you know, the birds and whatever, all the other stuff. Adam named them. But God said, you know, there's nothing suitable for him. There's nothing, there's no companionship for him. And so we know about the story in 20, how he put Adam to sleep, and he took one of his ribs, and he formed a woman, and he brought the woman unto Adam. And Adam, you know, shouts out, this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, and I'll call her woman. We know that. You know, he says, and now this is important too. He says, for this reason, a man should leave his father and mother. And I thought that was significant. So we're saying it just is words. And if you read the Bible just by the logos, you don't get the understanding. You won't get the revelation. You got to read it by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God got to be ignited in you. And I've read this scripture many a time, but do you understand the significance when it says a man leaves his father and mother? The significance of that. The father and mother is the most important thing to a child. The father and mother is the most important thing to a child. Even when that child becomes old, what changes that significance? What changes that importance? And it doesn't change it from an emotional standpoint, but what changes that is when a man finds a wife and he understands why he's finding a wife, and he understands the assignment. You know, he has to understand the assignment. And when he understands his assignment now to this wife, and it says he now leaves his mother and father, that means that the mother and father, yes, they're still mom and dad. We respect them. We love them. We're going to be there for them. But guess what? They're never supposed to supersede the wife. So he leaves his mother and father for that. And so we got that part. So now I'm going to skip to Genesis 3, and I'm going to read Genesis 3, and I'm going to start at verse 6, and I'm going to set the scene. Genesis 3, and we're going to start at 6. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made covering for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, and he heard you. He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked. So I hid." And he said, "Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" And the man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me." And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all wild animals. You will crawl on your belly, and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." To the woman, he said, "I will make your pains in childbearing very severe. With painful labor, you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you." To Adam, he said, "Because you listened to your wife and ate fruit from the tree about which I commanded you must not eat from it, cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. For dust you are, and for dust you will return." Father God, we thank you for your word. Lord, we just welcome you into this studio on tonight. Father, I pray that you will have your way and give us the revelation knowledge that we need, Father, to not just be hearers of the word, but to be doers, Father God. Help us, Father God, to get a clear understanding what it is. What's your purpose, Father God, for us on this earth? What is it that you desire of us, Father? Father God, how can we be more obedient to you, Lord? So, Father God, we invite you, we thank you for the revelation word that will go forth. I completely die to myself that your spirit will rise up on the inside, Father God, and bring forth a rhema word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen. So, we just read from Genesis, and we read about the fall. We read about sin. We read about how sin came into the earth and what it created. And what's so amazing, because I've been in different single formats and I've been in different relationship groups and broadcasts and stuff, and people really want to be married. We really do. People, most people do. Now, you got a small percentage, which are the exceptions to the rule, that don't, could care less about getting married. If they ever been, or if they been and don't want to do it again. But for the mass majority, the 80% or more, they want companionship. They want that special someone, especially women. Women, especially women of God, we want our covering. We want the man of God to step into our lives and take control, take over the reins, so to say. You know, and so as I was reading this, do you know that that desire is in us? And we're thinking it's, we control. We think it's up to us. We think, you know, that that's something. We got to fight against that desire, because that desire has been placed in us. It was a curse. In Genesis 3:17, he cursed us to have a desire for our husband. And I don't think he just said for your husband, meaning Eve was married to Adam and she was going to desire him and serve him. No, we desire a husband. And our desire is for a husband. And women, and whether they get married or not, we know at the woman at the well, God, Jesus said to her, you know, he asked her where was her husband, and she said she don't have one. He said, "You said right. You didn't have a whole lot." Because back then, the marriage process was a bonding and a physical bonding effect, and she had been with different men, you know. And so We do. We desire, women desire that covering. There's an incompleteness about. They feel incomplete, and they desire that covering because it's a curse. It was a curse because why? We stepped out of order of the will of God. Because I believe that had we not have stepped out of order, things would have happened in order. It wouldn't have been this desire. It wouldn't have been this curse that we have for that. It would have happened naturally. Things would happen naturally. We would get married. We would stay married. We would have produced and replenished the earth. We wouldn't have to worry about pain, a childbirth. I would assume that there was to be no pain in childbirth. Why do I assume that? Because the word of God said he's cursing us now that we will have pain. So if having pain is a curse, that means before we were cursed, there was no pain. If desiring my husband is a curse, then that means that before then, there was not that desire like to that degree. And so as I was reading that, it just really began to make sense to me because I started thinking. And as I started thinking, man, this is a curse. This thing is a curse. And it's not saying that God doesn't covenant marriages. It's saying that when the marriage began to be at the top of our forefront more so than God, there's a problem. And we're going to begin to see the issues of that problem as we see. We see the divorce rate. We see infidelity. We see so many different things. We see abuse, mental, physical, emotional abuse. We see all these different things. We see many of us have been married multiple times and just different things because we've been conditioned by what the world considers to be the truth. We've been conditioned by what the world considers to be the truth. And so God is saying, look, let's get some things in perspective. I gave Adam a companion. Yes, I gave him someone to partner with. They were supposed to be a team. You know, in the Bible, if you read the word of God, even when it speaks about the serpent talking to Eve, I was always under the pressure, and we've always been led under the pressure through whoever was presenting the message that Eve was alone. She wasn't, according to the word of God. Adam was there. That's how she gave us some of the fruit. Adam was there, didn't even get involved in the conversation. See, so Adam was already out of order because he should have been assertive. He should have been bold. He should have took, hey, hold up. Hold up, dude. Don't be talking to my wife. You got something to say? Have that conversation with me. But Eve, get on over there. Come on. Come on over here. Let me deal with this dude. That didn't happen. I'm imagining, okay? Reading the word of God, this is what I'm beginning to imagine. I'm beginning to draw a picture or a perception of what transpired, you know? And so this message is not about who was right, who was wrong. Was it, you know, did Eve deceive or did Adam deceive or was Adam disobedient? Was Eve disobedient? The message of this is because of the disobedience, there's been a curse put on us. And we are infatuated with the curse, not even realizing it's a curse. We're running around here trying to date. We're running around here trying to do everything possible to fulfill this curse. And we don't even realize it's a curse. When does it stop being a curse, Coach D? It begins to stop being a curse when you totally submit to God. Because remember, we were born into sin. Our flesh is sin. And the only way that we are pardoned from this sin, the only way that we're in an atonement of the sin is through our acceptance of Jesus Christ and the blood of Christ. Amen? So if we're accepting Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, and we believe through faith that God sent his only begotten Son to come here, to die, to bury, to resurrect for us. He did this for us in our sin. So that curse, once we become believers, we no longer subjected to the what? The curse. We've been covered under the blood. And so, but we got to understand that and acknowledge that. Because it doesn't mean that familiar spirit won't come about again. It doesn't mean in the natural that we won't, because remember, the natural is sin. So it doesn't mean that the natural don't get it. When our spirit man get it, the natural don't get it because they're in opposition of one another. The spirit don't know nothing about the natural, and the natural knows nothing about the spirit. They're in opposition, in total opposition. So when we're operating in the flesh, you know, the word of God says walk in the spirit so you don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. So when we're walking in the spirit, see, we're not subjected to that curse. And so now we can begin to see God. That the desires are there because in the beginning he said it's not good for man to be alone. He created Eve from Adam, so it was there was that companionship, that camaraderie was supposed to be there. It got all whacked out and out of shape and disobedience and chaos during the fall through the sin. So now when we give our lives back to Christ and we become believers, now we can begin to see God. And, you know, we seek God. We ask God. We begin to ask God, what's God's desire for us? And guess what? When we begin to seek God, our first desire should not even be seeking God about a spouse, about a mate. Our first desire is supposed to be coming into relationship with him because he said there was two commands. The second command, he said there was two things. The first thing was to love our God with all of our hearts, our soul. That was vertical. So the first command was, that we be vertically connected to him, that we be so bound to him, so in tune with him. And some of you married couples that's listening in on tonight, and you've been married for any period of time, if you've been married for 30, 40, or 50 years, you know what I mean when I say this. There's a bonding. There's a, when it says the two becomes one, this is literal. The two become one. There's a bonding there. If you don't believe the soul, you can look at the records. You can look at the histories of couples who've been married 40 and 50 years, and one of them goes to glory. It's not too long afterwards that the other one goes to glory because they become one. But we will become one first and foremost with Christ, with God, vertically. And when we become one with him, then what happens is he ignites his spirit in us, the Holy Spirit. But what he does is begin to put his mind in us. He said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. So he puts his mind in us. So guess what? It ain't even, we don't even desire what we desire no more. It ain't about what Coach D wants. It ain't about I want this size house and I want this size car and I'm going to claim this and I'm going to name this and I'm going to speak. It's not about that because the reason why that stuff works, for real, because, you know, witchcraft works too. But the reason why that stuff works is because people that's working it is lined up vertically according to the will of God. And when God put his desire in you, he's going to cause it to manifest. Why? Because it's his desire for you. It's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives inside me. So if I'm lined up vertically with Christ, then that's going to spill over horizontally. And the second command was to love your neighbors as you love yourself. Well, if I'm vertically in tune and I'm loving God, God is loving me, and we got this relationship going on, and I feel him, I hear him, he's telling me what he desires for me, he's giving me dreams, visions, and ideas, and I'm stepping out on these dreams, visions, ideas because he's giving me the game plan. Habakkuk 2:2, he's writing the vision, he's making it plain. I'm reading it, I could understand it. When he says go over here, I'm going to go over here. When he says stay here, I'm going to stay here. When he says don't continue to seek this, I'm going to stop seeking it. And so when we get lined up with him, you know, there's not a whole lot of room for mistakes. We normally get into the mistakes when we get out of his will, when we get out of order. You know, God, you're moving a little bit too slow. You know what? I'm trying to make this thing happen. But guess what? I want to get married on 2/22/2022, you know. And so I done already told God this back in February of 21. Lord, check this out. I like that 2/22/22, and I'm going to get married in that time, and I got to make it happen. Well, I'm in January 22, and it ain't even no hopefuls. I don't have any prospect. So now, if I'm not careful, whew, glory to God, if I'm not careful, I'm going to become desperate. And if I become desperate, then I'm going to be opening up myself and maybe get myself in a situation. And the next thing you know, I'm married. I'm married, all right, because that was the focal point, married. But there's a lot of marriage that's not surviving. Why? Because being married is just the first part of it. The second part and the most important part, and maybe should be the first part, is being a husband and wife. So we have a lot of marriages that don't have husbands and wives because, see, to be a husband and wife takes work. It takes commitment. It takes love, and I'm not talking about the Eros love. I'm not talking about the filial love. I'm talking about agape love. I'm talking about that kind of love that's going to be there according to the vows. The kind of love that's going to be there when their teeth is gone. The kind of love that's going to be there when they have to do that depend. The kind of love that's going to be there when they start getting kind of chunky around the midsection. That's that agape love. That's that love that says contending for another's highest good in every situation until what? It becomes a manifestation. So we got to be lined up. We got to be lined up with God first. And when we lined up with God, everything in the Word of God tells us. It tells us everything in the Word of God is telling us that if we draw unto Him, you know, if we seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these things will be added. He's telling us in His Word, it's no secret. Line up, line up, line up. Get vertically aligned. Get vertically aligned. Know me. Get to know me. Know that you know me before you even try to go know somebody else. Know that you know me. Know that you know what I desire for you. Know that you know what my promises are for you. Know who I am. Because when we know who He is, we know when He's speaking to us. Amen? None of us have had a relationship with somebody that we had an intimate relationship with them and didn't know when they were, didn't know their voice. Men, you know your woman. If you spend any intimate time with her for any period of time, you know your woman. You know who she is. If they took her behind a wall and the only thing you could see was from the knees down, I would have to say probably 95% of you would be able to identify your woman. Because you know her. If your eyes were closed and you couldn't see her and all you could do was hear her voice, you would know her voice. Why? Because you spent time with her. You've been intimate with her. And we have to have the same intimacy with God. We have to spend the same amount of time with God to know who He is so that we don't get infatuated. So that we don't get infatuated with the curse. And that, again, I'm talking about relationships. But let me just switch it for a minute, because some of y'all in here say, well, I ain't infatuated with no relationship. I don't need no man. I don't need no woman. But let's talk about another infatuation, because in this curse, that was to the woman. But he said in 17, to Adam, he said, because you listened to your wife and ate fruit from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat from, he said, cursed is the ground because of you through painful toil. What does toil? That means work. Work. You will eat from it. You will eat food from all the days of your life. So he said, you're going to be working hard. Anytime you're talking about a ground producing thorns and thistles, that's pain. Let's talk about it literally. Let's look at that. The analogy of thorns and thistles, that's problem. That's difficult when you're a farmer, you know, when you're tolling, that's difficult when you come against thorns and thistles because they thick and they pricky, and that's a problem. And he's telling them, you're going to have problems all the days of your life. You're going to have to deal with some stuff. You're gonna have to be working and working hard, and that's the curse. But then some of you guys have got infatuated with that curse. What you mean, Coach D? Some of you guys have got so infatuated with the curse of toiling that you spend more time toiling than you do sowing. You spend more time toiling than you do with your children. You spend more time toiling than you spend with God. Who could break the curse? So you so infatuated with the get to know and build a relationship with the person who could break the curse. So we get caught up in work, and we living from paycheck to paycheck, from bill to bill. And the more we want, the more we desire of this earth stuff, the more in debt we get. And the more in debt we get, the more we have to work. And the more we have to work, the less time we spend with the things that's supposed to be the most important to us: God first, our spouses, and our family. So now we're spending all this time working to pay for these bills, for this worldly, materialistic stuff that we desire, instead of spending time with the Creator who created all this stuff and had cows on the thousand hills. He could give us this stuff. He can make this stuff happen. You didn't hear people give their testimony where God just blessed them. You didn't hear people give testimonies. I'm one where God has just stepped in and done the unthinkable, that He's blessed exceedingly abundantly above all we could think or ask. I mean, I used to hear people talk about it, but I don't have to hear nobody talk about it. I know. It's been times I walked to my mailbox and opened it up and checked being there out of nowhere. And I needed it. You know, I'm getting insurance refunds that I knew nothing about. But because I needed it, I didn't have, you know, I went through a period of time through my own decisions, through my own flesh moves, where I didn't have income for 7 months, no income. Oh, but God. And it ain't what is what, you know, oh, but God. Because I'm not knocking people's testimonies of being homeless and living in a shelter and living in their car. I thank God for their testimony. But I thank God even more that that's not my testimony. But it could have been my testimony. It could have been my testimony. Thank God that it wasn't. And so the message of tonight, if I had to say anything else, is this. We got to stop being infatuated with the curse. We got to realize that some of these things that we're desiring, some of these things that we want, was a curse. And we got to get lined up to the Creator, the one who has the power and authority to break the curse in our lives, so that we could begin to move in the anointing and favor of God. Because in the anointing and favor of God will take you places that you never thought you could go. And I'm talking about it will do things it was the favor of God on my life. And I could go testimony after testimony after testimony. I could open up a library of testimonies as it pertained to Gwethelyn Denise that I wouldn't have enough time to share. But when I think about, and it's testimonies daily. I mean, it could be something as simple as me driving and getting ready to make a left and somebody not paying attention, and by God's grace, I was missed. The testimony could be something as great as, you know, you need to take care of something and you have absolutely no resources to take care of something, and all of a sudden the resources is there. The testimony is simply that you woke up and you didn't have COVID and you breathing. The testimony is that you simply woke up. And it's important for us to share our testimony. It's important for us to tell it. We're in the last days, people, and if you don't realize that we're in the last days, if you haven't read Matthew 12 in a while and 2 Timothy that's telling us about the last day, people's hearts are waxing cold. We becoming numb. And this is a fight. And if you ain't fighting, I don't know that you connected. Because, see, I'm connected. I'm connected to the Most High. I know I'm connected to Him. I know I'm connected to Him. And I'm struggling. I'm fighting. I'm fighting for survival right now. Because the church is being persecuted, because so much stuff is going on. I see what was written. I see the God manifesting in the earth. I see things, and I feel things. You know, the heart waxing cold, we becoming numb. You know, and I'm just quick, let me share. You know, I lost within the last 2 months, I lost 5 family members, cousins. These are cousins, and my son lost a brother, and just all these loss. And I was sitting up a couple of weeks ago, and I was talking to somebody, and I was saying, "Man, I feel numb. I don't even. I mean, yes, it hurts me that." And these are not. I'm not talking about people I lost because somebody else that I know lost them. I'm talking about people I knew personally, people I had a relationship with. And I felt numb. I didn't feel the same emotions that I would normally feel. And it wasn't because of I didn't love these people, not because I won't miss them, not because I'm not sad because they're gone, but I felt numb. And then it began to dawn on me is that there's been so much death. There's so much chaos, and God began to show me that that it's the enemy's job to desensitize us, you know. And I was becoming, with COVID over the last 2 years, there's been even greater loss that I know of. And I'm talking about 2 months, but in the last 2 years, there's been a lot of loss of people that I love dearly, that I was very close to. And the numbness that I was feeling, you know, I didn't have the emotion, and I started to think, Lord, is my heart waxing cold? Why am I not showing some kind of emotion towards this? And he began to show me certain things, you know. He began to show me how things were unfolding and things that we're looking at and the agendas that's taking place in the earth and things that we used to look at. And I don't know about you all, but I'm in the 50 category. So I was born in the 60s, and so I've experienced the mid, late 60s and 70s and 80s on up. And so there were certain things watching TV that was just not going to manifest. You know, the closest we came to any type of sexual scene was the illusion that these two people might kiss in a commercial came on. Can somebody say yes? And so there's things that we're now being exposed to, and now we're being exposed to it with you know, it's becoming great. You know, the exposure is great. See, the devil is not subtle anymore. It's no longer subtle. He's very, as a matter of fact. It's out there. It's there. And what happens is the first time we see it, we turn the channel, we close the door, or we tune out our ears, or we change the radio station the first time. Then the second time, we might cut it off again. The third time, we're just cutting it down. By the fourth time, we're listening to it. And the next thing you know, we're no longer sensitive to it. You know, we're no longer sensitive to seeing two people of the same sex in the shower or doing something inappropriate on TV. You get to a point where you're no longer sensitive. And you become no longer sensitive when you continue to entertain. Remember what I told you? Whatever you tolerate, you accept, and whatever you accept don't change. So when we begin to tolerate certain things, and, you know, we're in a world that's teaching tolerance. We're in a world that's saying it ain't okay not to tolerate. It ain't okay not to accept. It ain't okay for you to voice your opinion if it's against the status quo. So we're in that world that's pushing it on our kids in school, pushing it on us, in the workplace, everywhere. We're being pushed. We're being pushed, and it's not okay. You know, I remember when it first started, this agenda, it was, you know, you got to be politically correct. You know, you couldn't say Chinese and Japanese no more. You now had to say Asian. You couldn't say, you know, you had to begin to say Hispanic. You know, all these things became, the world became very offended. Everything is offense, and offense is of the enemy, you know. We as believers, we're not even supposed to even operate in the spirit of offense. Get offended at the enemy. That's what we do, get offended at the enemy. But there's so much that's going on. And so we want to just be careful that we don't become desensitized. We want to be careful that we're staying vertically aligned, because if we're vertically aligned, then we're going to be horizontally in order. Amen. We want to make sure that we're not chasing after the wrong thing. We don't want to be infatuated with nothing in this world. We want to make sure that I don't want nothing that God don't want for me. If God don't want it for me, I don't want it. I just don't want it. What I should say is I don't need it. And if I don't need it, then I really need to get in the habit of not wanting it. We need to get in the habit of not wanting it. And we don't need to be chasing, the 20%. We need to be chasing God. And if we chasing God, all these things, he said, all these things will be added unto us. All those things. He'll put the right desires in us. You no longer ain't going to just want a girlfriend. You no longer ain't going to just want a friend with benefits. You no longer going to just want, you're going to want a wife. You're going to want a partner, a purpose partner. You want somebody to build with, to dream with, to make memories with, somebody that you could be aligned with. That's what you're going to want. You're not going to just want none of these other things no more. Because why? Because you're only going to want what God wants for you. And if God don't want it for you, you get to a point where you lose the taste in your mouth. You know, there's things I think I want. It's funny because I was telling a friend, I said, I have to constantly be wondering when I'm getting butterflies in my stomach, is it really butterflies or is it gas? And that is the truth. And oftentimes we'll find out that it wasn't butterflies at all. It was just gas. Pass that gas and move on. Because sometimes we'll be chasing what we think is butterflies, and it ain't butterflies at all. And next thing you know, we done got ourselves in a situationship. Next thing you know, we done got connected to our assignment. Got attached to our assignment. You know, God may send somebody in my life, and it's just for a season. It's for a purpose. It's for an assignment. And next thing you know, we done got attached to it. And then when it don't work out, we don't understand why. Well, it didn't work out because you got attached to your assignment. Who told you that was your spouse? Because if God is not telling you that, then you know what? You don't want to move forward. That's just the bottom line. You do not want to move forward. We want to be obedient. We want to be in order. We want to be aligned with what it is that God has for us. And just stay connected to the vine. Staying connected to the vine. Amen. Father, we just thank you for the word that went forth on tonight. Father, I thank you that you're just willing to bless us, Father God, that you're willing to download into our computer database, the brain, that you're willing to download into us, Father. Father God, I know that it is your desire that none should perish, Father. It is your desire, Father God, that we will seek you wholeheartedly, Lord. Father God, it is your desire that we will be doers of the word and not just hearers, Lord. Father, we just thank you. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for your favor. We thank you for your love, Father God, and your faithfulness and your forgiveness, Lord. Father God, I pray that as we go about our days and as we move forward, Father God, that you would just help us, Lord, to just be in love with you, Father. And as we become closer to you, as we become more intimate with you, Father God, as we fall in love with you, that you would just bring all other things to pass, that everything else will line up according to your purpose for our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in to this episode of Processing the Pain. I know that something was said that hopefully blesses you, that will propel you into a vertical alignment with your Lord and Savior, and that God will begin to just speak to your heart and just begin to reveal his truth to you, that you will be, but more importantly, that your heart not be hardened, that you will be obedient to what God is telling us, because fear and obedience cannot operate in the same space. Look forward to being with you on next week. If you are listening in and you believe that the Lord has given you a testimony for you to share with others, hit me up. Inbox me on Instagram or Facebook. Instagram is at Coach D. Facebook is Processing the Pain. just send me DM me a message, or you can email me at mcdnetworkinc@gmail.com. Again, that's mcdnetworkinc@gmail.com. Hit me up. I'm looking for willing vessels, people who know that God has brought them through some things, and they believe that the things they've been through is going to bless others. And I'm providing the platform for you to be able to share your testimony. Amen. So get out of the fear, step out on faith, and just do what God has called you to do in Jesus' name. Please know that you are totally loved and appreciated. See you next week. I do.